You are listening to the audio preaching podcast from North Valley Baptist Church in Santa Clara, California, led by Pastor Jack Treiber. Though located in the heart of the Silicon Valley, you will hear fervent, old-fashioned revival preaching from the pulpit of North Valley Baptist Church. It is our desire that you will be helped by this gospel message.
We're in Mark chapter 5 today. If you'll keep your Bibles open, we'll use them today. It's a novel thing in church to use your Bible, but we'll use the Bible today. And again, I want to say how very grateful I am that you're all here. Please let me meet you at the door. I'll be baptizing this morning and tonight, and I look forward to getting back out there and meeting you at the door as quickly as possible. It's good to have a full house, always have a good crowd every Sunday. We only ran a few buses today. We ran them yesterday and had so many thousands and thousands of people come to hear the Word of God, and which we're really grateful. Well, I know I've had prayer already, but we'll have prayer again. We'll get the orchestra in as I'm praying. We'll slide them on in. And thank you for being in God's house today. Let's bow for prayer. Father, I love my people so much. I'm so grateful they've allowed us to stay, my wife and I, all these many years. I don't know if this is my last Easter Sunday. I don't have any plans to not be here next year. But I pray that, God, I would do a good job for you. I would have your fullness, your power. God, there are needy people here. I can't meet all the needs. There's no way I can meet all the needs. There are needs of health needs today. Some have received very, very sad information from the doctor this week. There are marital problem needs, divorce. There's immorality. There's court hearings this week that'll be held. I can't meet all those needs, God. But your precious word, the Bible, can. Help us to use it today for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Jesus Christ, if you miss everything, don't miss this. He spent his life living for others. That's what life is about. Life is not about you.
Amen.
Thank you, Peter. Life is not about you. Life is about others. I think of our Lord Jesus Christ, how little children came to him, and the disciples said, don't bother Jesus. And Jesus said, suffer, allow them to come. I want them to come. I want to talk to children. Don't you want to talk to children? I look forward on Sunday night, the little kids come by here, it takes quite a while, and I shake their hand, and they're all different. I love those children. I love going to elementary chapel every Wednesday morning for 48 years now, at high school chapel and college chapel. I love it. I love being around people. Jesus took time for the children. Jesus took time for the lame, yep, the halt, the blind, yes, the paralyzed. Jesus took time for Mary Magdalene, a very evil woman who had so many husbands and boyfriends and was living with a man at the time. Jesus took time for Mary and Martha and their brother, they're weeping. Lazarus had died, and he came and healed him and brought him back to life. Jesus took time for people. He comes to the other side of the sea and the Gadarenes, the country of the Gadarenes, and those people were vicious people. They were not good people. They were mean people. And here he comes to the country of the Gadarenes, and there meets him immediately. The Bible says in verse number 2, when he came out of the ship, immediately there met him a man of the tombs with an unclean spirit. I want to speak to you today about this crazy man who found Jesus Christ. When a crazy man could find Jesus Christ, a man demon possessed, a man that when the demons left him, over 2,000 pigs or animals or swine drowned in the sea. The man was filled with demons. It was a demon country. They gave themselves over to demons. That's what rock and roll music is. You do any study, you have a music degree, or just if you have any knowledge of reading, rock music is that of demonic activity. a man right over here. In fact, it's right next to the post office. I led the family to Christ 49 years ago. And I met one of them to Christ, and a black man, a black woman, they became so faithful to our church, they since moved away. But I led them to Christ in that house, and that same house moved a man. And his family worked right next door to the church building at that rest home. One day he stayed home and he listened to rock music all day. And he got up about 2 a.m. and there was a butcher knife there. And someone, he said, was telling them inside, he said, I listened to all this music, he said with his own words, I listened to all this music about killing, about damage, about hurting, and I listened to it all, and I saw my aunt, and she was slicing some cheese and some salami, got up at 2 a.m, and he said, there I saw it, and I took the knife, and I stabbed her, and killed her, and I killed the next one, I killed her. And in that same home, I led folks to Christ. A demon-possessed man killed people. I want you to see that this demon-possessed man, his condition, he was living in the tombs. Now I go to the graveyard all the time. I love walking in the graveyard and praying. I love stopping by the marker of your son, a baby, and sons and daughters and teenagers and mothers and dads and grandparents. I love stopping by their grave and just thinking about them. I live in the cemeteries here. It's quiet for me. I go to pray and I go to walk with God. But I tell you what, when the sun sinks, I'm not staying in the cemetery. You might be able to, but I'm a chicken. I'll be glad to announce it. I'm scared to death. I don't even like driving by Winchester Boulevard in the dark of the night. I'm thinking, good night, something's going to happen here. I know something's going to, but Wally Davis is going to come up out of the grave and get me. I mean, something's going to happen. But here's a man, he lived in the tombs. The Bible says he lived in the tombs. In verse 3, who had his dwelling, he dwelt among the tombs. The homeless people don't go in the tombs, and neither do I. You don't want to live in the tombs. And look what they did. His condition was so awful because he had all been bound with fetters and chains had been plucked asunder by him. He's living in the tombs. He's bound by chains. I wonder what has you bound today. I spoke this week to a man who's bound by alcoholism. I don't understand that. I've never had a sip of alcohol in my life. But that doesn't make me a Christian. But I can't imagine. But I'm not a drunk either. And I think if I was an alcoholic, I don't know if there's any way around that other than Jesus Christ. Amen. An alcoholic has a thirst for it. He'll get good, he'll get dried out, and all of a sudden he'll see a commercial or I'll see some or have a desire. Are you bound by alcoholism today? I was praying this morning for the service and I got thinking about how many of you are sitting here and in your pockets or in your purse, there's drugs. And you know as well as I, you want to kick that habit. You want to throw those things away. When I was in sixth grade, I was delivering Sunday morning papers, and I ran across in Fremont over here, became Fremont, a pack of cigarettes. And I found those cigarettes. My third grade cousin said, who's a preacher, by the way, now too, not far from here. And he said, Jack, let's smoke those things. And I said, no, Steve, I don't want to smoke them. I didn't want to smoke them because I was a good Christian. I loved my mom and dad. I knew they'd be upset with me if I smoked. I never heard him preaching against it. I just knew, and I said, no, and I felt like a sissy. Sixth grade boy, third grade boy. And I found those cigarettes and we didn't smoke them. I gave that illustration about maybe 25, 30 years ago. And a man said, was that on Porter Avenue? A member of my church. I said, it was in Fremont. He goes, and right on the corner there, and he gave the corner. I said, that's where I found them. He said, they're mine. I said, what? He said, I'd smoke. I was a chain smoker. And once or twice a week, I'd come to that corner. I said, now, God, I'm going home. My kids don't need to see this. I'm throwing them away. They were mine. Well, God bless them. God gave them the victory over that. Are you bound by smoking? Are you bound by drugs? Are you bound by drink? Are you bound by pornography? Are you bound by just the internet? Are you bound? What has you bound up today? What has your marriage bound up? What has your life bound up? What has your family bound up? And the Bible says he was bound, and the people of the city cared for him. They chained him to the tombs. Verse number 5. Oh, it's night and day. He was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. Can you imagine the situation? He's in the mountains and he comes down. He's in the tombs. He's chained to the tombs. And then he cuts himself with stones and he's crying out, oh, help, help, help. They heard him in the city. They weren't afraid of him. I see his condition. I wonder how many of you really are crying out for help. You're here today. Maybe a faithful member of this church. Maybe it's your first time. But I wonder what you're crying out for help. Maybe you're successful, but you still don't have the answer in life. The answer is Jesus Christ. I see the man was cured. I see his condition. I see he was cured. Look at verse number 6. But when he saw Jesus, when he saw Jesus, amen. When he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshiped him. And he cried with a loud voice, said, what have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not. And he said unto him, Jesus is speaking now, come out of the man, thou unclean spirit. That's what he was looking for. He was looking to be freed from this bondage that had him chained in life. And Jesus was the only one that could cure that. I saw some of my neighbors going to church early this morning. And I saw them leaving. I thought, I wonder, will they get a message of hope in Jesus Christ? I wonder if they'll just have a liturgical service. I don't know what they're going to have. They're good neighbors. They're a good wife and a good mother and a good father and a good marriage. And I tell them all the time, you're doing such a good job raising your kids. But I wonder, what are they getting? Jesus cured the man. I'm a Baptist. I'm unashamedly a Baptist. But a Baptist is not going to take you to heaven. I believe in a Baptist faith. But friend, you're Catholic, you're Methodist, you're Presbyterian, or you're Mormon, whatever you might be, that's not going to take you to heaven. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. The only way to heaven is through Jesus Christ. I see his cure. I go on to see his cure in verse number 13. And forthwith Jesus came and gave them leave, and the unclean spirit went out and entered into the swine, and a herd rent violently down the steep place into the sea, and there choked about 2,000 choked in the sea. This man was filled with demonic powers. I'm not criticizing AA or any of that, but I'm telling you, they didn't have a 12-step program with Jesus. He had a one-step program. Come unto me. Just come. Brother Will, just come. I heard you preaching on the radio this week, and I was just so thrilled. I heard you yesterday, and how you're talking about the joy of knowing Christ as your Savior. Just come unto Christ. He lives in the prisons. He's free today. He's got a weekend pass. He's a missionary to the prisons in all so many states and throughout the state of California. And he goes to these prisons, these lifers, and he's in the ward with lifers. And he goes into these prisons and a room that seats 40, 50, 60. All of a sudden they have 100 men and they move you out in the yard. You've been out in the yard when it's 100 degree weather, and they sit and they listen. He's led so many hundreds and hundreds and hundreds to Christ. All these different prisons, most of them he has music directors. And his music directors are lifers for murder, for this and for that. But they got saved.
Amen.
And now they're the music directors. I won't say the name, but he knows I'm going to talk about it. He's got a man that everybody in this room would know his name, from a big rock group. He'll be there forever. He'll die in prison, but he got saved. He's his music director. AA is not the answer. You're bound by chains, but Jesus is the answer. I see his condition. I see his cure. Do you notice the change that took place? Verse number 15. Let's read verse 15 together, shall we? Ready? Begin. And they come to Jesus and see him. You know, here's this man and the change. He's sitting. He's not screaming out anymore. He's not cutting himself. He's sitting. He put some clothes on. And he's in his right mind. That mind that was so tormented by these demons, sitting in his right mind. Thank God for Calvary and thank God for what Jesus Christ did. I think of that song, only Jesus can satisfy your soul, for only he can cleanse your heart and make you whole. Only Jesus can make you whole. We're almost done. I see the crowd's response. Verse 15 says they were afraid. The crowd was afraid. Verse 16, and they saw it, told them how it befell him, that he was possessed of the devil and also concerning the swine. And they began to pray, ask him to depart out of their coast. Isn't it an amazing thing, Colonel? Isn't it an amazing thing when he's out of his mind, when he's screaming, when he's cutting himself, when he's full of the devil, they came and they cared for him and they chained him and they weren't afraid of him. But when he's saved from that wrath of the chains and all that, when he's saved from those demons, they're afraid of him now. They said, get out of our town. I think there's many in our country that would like Christians to be extinct. They march on the streets of our city. They're marching today and yesterday. They said the president sent an Easter message. But he did not send an Easter message, and they listed them to Hamas, to the Muslims, to the Mormons, to the Muslims, to confuse. Well, of course he did not, because they don't believe in Jesus. Because Jesus is the only one that rose from the grave. Amen. He's the only one that conquered death. Yep. And the crowd said, get out of here, get rid of him. But what was his commission? And we're closing. Verse number 18. And when he has come unto the ship, he that had been possessed with the devil prayed him that he might be with him. Let's stop right there. I'm going to go to the next verse. But this man that was possessed of demons prayed Jesus, said, Jesus, I want to stay with you. I want to be with you. I want to be with you the rest of my life. Howbeit, Jesus suffered him not. Jesus said, no. But go home, tell thy friends, tell them the great things that the Lord hath done for thee, and how he had compassion on him. And he departed. And he began to publish soul winning, Brother Flood, in Decapolis, how great things that the Lord had done for him. And then all men did marvel. In closing, can you see it? Here's this crazy guy that was cutting himself. Here's this crazy guy possessed by devils. Here's this crazy guy that they tried to tame. Here's this crazy guy. And all of a sudden, he's free from all these demons. And he's sitting, he's clothed in his right mind. And first thing he says, I need a haircut. I'm going down to Floyd's barber shop right now. And he went down to Floyd's, and Floyd said, I'm busy right now. He said, there's nobody here, Floyd, just me and you. He said, well, I don't. Floyd's scared to death. And you know, he said, let me just get in the chair. And he said, Floyd, I want to ask you a question, Floyd. You know I was that crazy man, possessed by devils. And Jesus came by and restored my heart, my soul. I'm a different man, Floyd. He said, I've been saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. And Floyd says, I'd like that salvation. And led Floyd to Christ. He went down to the market, to Mr. Foley's market. And he said at Mr. Foley's market, I need a pound of ground beef. And the man said, well, we don't have any. He goes, well, there's some right there. He's scared of them now. He's the one they're crying, get out of our city. And he's scared. And they said, well, just give me a pound of that. And he said, Mr. Foley, I'm the crazy man, you know it. But I'm not crazy anymore. You know what happened? Mr. Foley got saved. Now Foley's saved, and now Floyd's saved. He went over to Goober's gas station. He said, hey, Goob, fill it up. He goes, oh. Now, this is no comic book now. And he led Goober to Christ. He went all over that region. Wait a minute. They wanted him out of their city, and 1 year later, 1 year, we're in chapter 5, chapter 7, Jesus comes back to the same city. He came back to Decapolis, the ones that wanted him out of their city. And the Bible says the whole city came to hear him. Why? One man made the difference. A crazy man who was born again. For me, this fall, God saved me 69 years ago. I'll never forget that day. No one had to tell me I was a sinner. I knew I was a sinner. I knew it. I just knew I was a sinner. I could lie to my mom. I could lie to my dad. I just knew I was a sinner. I'd go to bed at night, Brother Everson, just brokenhearted. I lied to my mom. The Holy Spirit of God was convicting my heart. I'll never forget that night. I was sitting in a little building. It's about this big right here. Just this little, it would seat maybe 100 people in green wooden folding chairs. It had no electricity. It was in Centerville, Irvington, and it just had lanterns glowing that night. I'll never forget our pastor, Pastor Smith, preached. And I wanted to walk out. I wanted to walk down the aisle and get saved, but I just could not do that. And I waited to the first stanza of the invitation. About the second, Brother Fanero, about the second, I walked forward. Oh, the relief of my heart. My heart was so wicked, and the relief that came over my spirit. He said, Viva Morningstar, come and lead Jackie Boy to Christ. And she led me to Christ. I wish I could tell you I've lived a perfect life. I'm so far from perfect. That's the battle I've had, Pastor, in this church. I know I'm not perfect. And I know I'm prone to wander, and I know all those things. But God saved me 69 years ago. He redeemed my soul. He put my name in the book of life.
Amen.
And though I'm not a good person and a perfect person, I'm saved. And I love God. And I love His Word. And I love people. God changed my heart that day. And He can change your heart.
Thank you for listening to the audio preaching podcast from North Valley Baptist Church in Santa Clara, California, led by Pastor Jack Treiber. For more information about our ministry or to find out how to get in contact with us, visit our website at nvbc.org. May God bless you as you serve Him this week.